Man, what an honor it is to preach tonight. Thank you, preacher. I know Sunday nights, you're not your favorite night to preach, and I appreciate it very much. Get my tape out. I'm going to tape this up on the pulpit. It's a little illustration I'm going to use. Get the tape out. I preached this in Bus Church, actually, a couple weeks ago, and I didn't copy it. I rewrote it. Don't worry. I made it to where y'all could understand it. It's okay. So... And Brother Grace is going to laugh at this sign because of what happened today. So I'll get to tell that story. God's funny. He's got a sense of humor. Y'all going to like this. But we'll get to that in a minute. So, oh, man, today was interesting. All right. Man, I love preaching. So, honestly, I think it's been 3 or 4 weeks ago when I preached this. But, you know, I've been getting off on Wednesday nights. And I'm like, you know, preacher's going to let me preach one Wednesday again. So I've been bringing this message with me every Wednesday. I'm like, maybe he's just going to be like, won't you preach tonight? I'm like, I'm ready. But then he asked me on Tuesday to preach. And I'm like, I'm going to pray about it and see. But God laid it on my heart, and I believe it's timely. So I'm excited. I want to thank everybody for praying for me through Bible College and helping me out. And can't do it without you. And got a great church family. But got a great real family too. So, I'm done with that. Hang on. Give me just a minute. Preach. All right. Take your Bibles. I should have told y'all that a minute ago. Deuteronomy. Y'all should have known. If you knew your Bible, you'd know where to be. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is where we're going to be. Deuteronomy chapter 8. The bus kids turn there. No, I'm just kidding. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. I think everybody's supposed to move that. That's what everybody does. So, don't do that. All right. We're going to be, our text verse is found in verse 11, but we're going to start in verse 10, just kind of get the context and make sure I get everything figured out. All right. Bible says, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware, and as ye see the sun, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and draught, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rocks of flint, who fled thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do the good at thy latter end. Verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers, as it is this day. In verse 19, it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray as I preach this, Lord, that you would, you've given me the message. I know what I'm going to speak and what I'm going to preach on. But, Lord, if there's something that you'd like me to say or don't want me to say, I pray I wouldn't or I would. And, Lord, at the end of this message, I pray if someone's lost, they get saved in here. And, Lord, Christians will make decisions, and you've worked on my heart through this message. And I pray that that you would be lifted up and glorified. And I wouldn't be, Lord. I'm just the messenger. And I pray you would humble me. And I love you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen. I got this message. Actually, the Lord laid it on my heart. When we had Avery's birthday party, my mom was down, and we were running some errands, and I kept forgetting everything. And I wasn't stressed out or nothing. I probably was. I mean, just everything going on. But I forgot ice. I was supposed to go by a person's house to drop some dog food off. I forgot that. I think I forgot my phone at the house. And my mom was just like, what is wrong with you? Like, is this what you do all the time? I'm like, no, this is really not what I do. I don't know what's going on. I'm just forgetting everything. Well, that night, as a family, usually on the weekends, I'm homeless. We'll do a devotion at night. And I told my mom, I was like, look up something about forgetting. Look it up in the Bible. Look up the word forget. And I came across this. And actually, I preached this message on Halloween. That's what it was, because of beware. And I read this verse, and then I knew I was going to preach at a bus church, and I was like, beware, that's going to be good. It's Halloween. You know, the kids are already going to be geared towards that, and I can use it. And that's kind of how I got this. But here in the Bible, we see Moses gives here a clear command for the children of Israel not to forget the Lord. Now, the folks Moses was preaching to here was a bunch of people who have been in the wilderness their entire life. Because remember, at this time, they had just left, not just left. They'd probably been in the wilderness for up to 40 years, maybe on that 39th last year, just to the context of the chapter. But I'm probably wrong if I am. Just fix it, you know. But I'm okay with that. Remember what our lesson was in the prayer meeting. But what had happened was, remember, Caleb and Joshua was the only two in that generation that were not going to die off. So you have a whole generation of men and women, because they did not keep the commandments of God. They didn't trust God. They sent the ten into the promised land. Caleb and Joshua came back with a good report. They sent 12. Two came back. My math, Brother Greg, you're going to have to forgive me. So they sent them back. And everything was good. Then, you know, God said, all right, well, you're going to the wilderness. Well, just think. This whole generation has died off, and now you're left with a bunch of children that have grown up in the wilderness their entire lives. Right. We're at a place where they haven't ever experienced a good life. They've been in the wilderness eating manna for 40 years, or for however long they were there for. And back up in verse, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Hang on. Remember, God cursed their fathers to death because they would not trust or obey God. Now, I believe Moses was aware that as soon as they got to the promised land, they would be very tempted to forget the Lord. Being the effect that they were in the wilderness for so long, that they've never experienced anything good in their life. So he stopped and warned them in verse 11. That's where we find the beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. But you see in verse 10, Moses alluded to something interesting. For 40 years now, these children of Israel have only eaten manna from heaven. According to Caleb and Joshua, there is way more than manna in the promised land. You know, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I also remember I'm new to all this stuff. I didn't grow up in a Sunday school per se to know all these Bible stories. So I've been reading through it, and it's really interesting. But I remember hearing, since I've been here at this church, that, and just reading in my Bible, that they, when he saw, remember the grapevines he had to carry, and there was two or three of them carrying. Just imagine a grapevine that big in the promised land. I love grapes, I love milk, and I love honey. And, I mean, I would go there. All that's good stuff. And so, for 40 years now, these children of Israel have only eaten the manna. Now, according to Caleb and Joshua, remember the grapes. Now, Moses knows that once they get over there, they will be overwhelmed from the abundant food source that they've never had before. Look at verse 10. He says, when thou hast eaten and art full. Because he knows what's about to happen. He doesn't get to go to the promised land, but he knows that they're going to. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And then you see the colt, or the period, and he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. The application I simply want to make tonight is what are some things God wants you and I to beware of in our Christian life? The beware defines as literally to restrain or guard oneself from. Hence, to regard with caution, to restrain oneself from anything that may be dangerous, injurious, or improper, or something we need to avoid. Often I use the illustration in bus church, you know, you see the caution, hot, don't touch. I always touched those things when I was a kid for some reason. I just had to touch it. I didn't heed the beware signs at all. And I should have done it today. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Now, first thing we'll look at is what the first thing Moses told Israel. He said in verse 11, not to forget the Lord and not keeping his what? So let's hear it together. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God and not keeping his commandments. Now, don't mock right here or scoff. Now, here's why. Because you hear, and we're in church, most of us are certainly not crowds, so we hear it often. In Sunday school, we hear it on Wednesday nights, we hear it on Sunday nights, Sunday morning. We got to be in our Bible. But the reason you do hear it is because we need it as a child of God. We find the commandments in the Bible, number one. Now, even Moses knew we needed it because he told it to the children of Israel first. So they needed it back then. Now, we have all been to that place in life where we become comfortable and things are going great. You know, we just got out of Thanksgiving. We've been thankful. We all got fed real good, just like in verse 10. We are eating and aren't full. And I feel that way After Thursday, I felt that way. Now, we don't have many issues, and we tend to forget some things. Or maybe we get so overwhelmed and busy, we tend to forget what we are supposed to do next. And that was my problem when I got the message that God kind of laid on my heart, that I just was forgetting all kinds of stuff. Just like in our testimony service on Tuesday, you know, we heard a lot of people's problems were happening here. And, but God's good. We all told about how God was there for us when we drew nigh to Him, when we were all in our wildernesses this past year. You know, we've all, it seems like everybody raised their hand. I'm thankful for God bring me through this and this and this. We've all been in that type of wilderness where we've just been, we need to get along with God. Now, some longer and some worse than others. But beware, the number one thing we must not forget is the commandments of God. We must not become comfortable like the children of Israel did, and let this be a reminder to me and you tonight. And we must not forget the number one in our life is God. If you look at verses 12 through 18, it says, Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. So they're getting all this stuff now. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. So he's talking about their past, where they came from, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein the fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at that latter end. Listen to what they say in verse 17. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. So he's saying, this is what you're going to end up saying. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, and he gives them the outcome. And if it shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Now God reminded the children of Israel exactly what he had done in their past, and warned them not to forget who really was their provider. There's been times when I forget just how easy I have it and I lose my focus. Or I forget where God brought me from, my wilderness of sin that I was in 3 or 4 years ago. God has to then remind me through preaching or chastisement that I need to put my focus back on Him. Another problem we have as Christians, unfortunately, is the ability to replace God without even meaning to. And the in Deuteronomy chapter number 5, just a few pages back, it says in verse 7, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. What are you serving today? For I, the Lord thy God, am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Verse 10, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and what does it say right there? And keep my commandments. And what's our text say in verse 8? In verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments. Now, we could talk about that for a minute. Let me ask you tonight. What are you putting in front of God that you need to beware of tonight? What's something in your life that you have to be aware of? What has, for instance, become your God? Is there something in your life right now that's getting more attention than God? I like on iPhones, you can look, if you have an iPhone, it has an activity report. And if you look at that activity report, it'll say how much time you spent on your messages, how much time you spent texting somebody today, how much time, and it'll give you a day, it'll give you a week, and it'll give you a month report of what you've been doing. Let me ask you, if this was on there with it, what would it look like? Because it gives you a little bar. This is messages. This is Facebook. This is Twitter. This is Vine. This is the commandments. Where is it at? So that's kind of what the thought was for me when I'm seeing that is, where are we at? What do we need to beware of? Now, it's not just saying like, he's just giving a warning. Beware. Listen, this is what can happen when things start getting good. When we get complacent in our life, we need to beware. And he's just kind of instructing them, look, this, I know what you're going to go through. He's been there before. He's an older guy. He's about to die in chapter 30. He knows what he's talking about. I mean, he was Moses. Now, what has become your God? You see, Israel's prosperity and their success became their God in this chapter. Even though God was the one who had made it happen, they didn't see it that way. We saw in verses 12 through 19, it says, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. That's what they're saying. And he says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power, it is he to give thee wealth. Now, their own selves, their own flesh became their God. And that necessarily isn't our problem all the time where we look at it like that. But what have we put in front of our Lord and Savior? I mean, and he reminds us in this, what he brought them from. Now think about the day you were saved. Think of the zeal you had and after that. And it's incredible to see how we grow. And we'll get to it here in the message here in a minute. But think of it like a tree. Because what we're going to wrap up to is growing in grace. But think of yourself as a tree. A tree takes a while to grow. It's not something that just shoots up and it's done. It's growing. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes care to grow a tree. And that, I see like that's like the Christian life. You get salvation, then you start working on sanctification, then you start growing. And it's going to take years before you get to a mature tree. And that's growing in grace. But we're going to get to that here in a minute. Let's go on here. Now, let's go to the New Testament. If you'll take your Bible and go to Mark chapter number 12, I'll tell you the story about the beware real quick. We got China working on a new girl, and she came to church with one of our bus riders, and we've been knocking on her house. She hadn't came back yet, but hopefully she will. And they always have it's a pit bull and two puppies, and they're always locked up in the gate. We never have a problem out of them. And I noticed, because usually if it's somebody that I've met, Matt's our runner, but if somebody I've met that he hasn't met before, I'll go run, just knocks a familiar face. And I was like, I'll get out on this one. And I jump off the bus, and I'm like, the gate's open, but I don't see the dogs. I'm like, well, because there's holes under the house, kind of pyramid beam house. It's like, maybe they're under the house. So I kind of pulled the gate shut, knocked on the door, or knocked on the side of the house. And I hear, ooh, and they're in the neighbor's yard. And I'm like, oh no. And I'm like, all right, I'm aware of it. You know, I'm being aware. They actually had a be aware of the dog sign, too. So I was being aware. And I'm going to go to Mark number 12 while I'm talking. So, I'm standing there, waiting on someone to answer the door. I'm like, she's going to come to church. I'm excited. And here comes the dogs, two puppies. They're all wagging. You know, they're excited. And here comes the mom. She's like sniffing my legs. I'm like, all right, it's good. We're good. I was going to be kind. I'm a Christian. You know, I'm going to. So, they're standing by the gate. So, I go to open the gate. I'm going to put them up for them. Mama dog didn't like it. And she turns on me, and she's just, I mean, going. So, I'm like. So I pulled this like ninja move. I don't know what I was doing. I was like, I had my foot up and I was like, I'm about to kick this dog in the throat. And I turned back and Greg's laughing, number one. Not honking, not doing nothing, didn't get off the bus, he's laughing. And I'm like backing up, trying, it's in gravel, you know. And I'm like, all right, the bus door's still open, he ain't shut it yet. So I took off and ran. I was like, shut the door, hurry. I didn't know she was chasing me. But God does have a sense of humor. He knew what I was preaching about. He confirmed the message right there. Divine. That was divine right there. But, all right, Mark 12, 29. You know, we're talking about the commandments. And it says, remember in the New Testament, Jesus was asked a question about the Pharisees, the scribes. Which is the greatest commandment of the law? Which one should we practice first? Jesus' response or answer to that question is the same for us today. We should hold to that today. It's in our Bible. And should have been the same for Israel at this point. We know they didn't follow it like that. It says in verse 28, and one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, how are we doing? How are we doing now? This is what our Savior said. Are we loving the Lord? That statement, it kind of confused me at first because with all the heart, I kind of understood that. But I didn't understand with all the soul part. And I kind of understood the might and the strength. I looked it up in the commentary. Matthew Henry put it this way, and I kind of like it. He says, he tells the scribe, talking about Jesus, that the great commandment, which indeed includes all, is that of loving God with all our hearts. Whenever this is the ruling principle in the soul, there is a disposition to every other duty. Loving God with all our heart will engage us to everything by which He will be pleased. And I kind of brought that back to the thought of service, you know. I used this illustration in bus church. Come here, Joshua, get up here. He knows it's coming. And it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. You know, Joshua, he's our biggest guy in bus church, so all the kids are like, boy, I grabbed him. I was like, with all our strength, this is how we got to love God. I can't even lift you, dog. He's heavy. But, like, how are we loving? You can go sit down now. But how are we loving God? Like, when I see that, I just take that. I don't have to go back and look at the Greek and go back. It says, with all my strength. And I'm not strong enough, but, you know, I'll try. But God wants our heart's desire, our soul's desire, and our minds to be focused on Him. Everything we do, every motive we have, ought to be on the Lord first. What part of your mind and soul and heart have you not given to the Lord yet? Now remember, Moses said, beware not keeping His commandments, but what did Jesus say in John 14, 15? If you love me, keep my commandments, okay? Let me go on to the next one. Jesus said, the greatest is in verse 31. And He says, and the second is like, namely this. This one got me. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Everybody look who you're sitting beside. Go ahead. Maybe we ought to look at the person behind us, because that's usually your spouse. All right, that's your neighbor. We're supposed to love them as ourselves. All right? And you look at that and you're like, okay. Now, over in 1 John, and you don't have to turn there, but in 3:17, it says this. But whoso hath the world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If you don't love your neighbor, and you're a born-again Christian, I'm just saying, compassion is putting yourself in someone else's situation, understanding their pain and what they're going through. God put that in the Bible, not me. Now, when we shut off that fountain of compassion or never tap into the compassion to help our neighbor, it really hinders the work of God. Now, I wonder not if we would all shut our mouths, stop gossiping about the family next to us, the teenager in the youth department, the couple that's more holier than you in the church, and we put that focus and we beware, and we focused on the Lord, if it would allow God to do greater works through us church members. Now you better beware when you begin to criticize. Beware when you begin to criticize other church members in this church. Listen, because if I do remember correctly, this church's goal is to spread the gospel, not the gossip. Okay? Now after all, we would be proving we love Jesus because we would be what? Keeping His commandments. So as we love the Lord, you know, we all talked about we were going through all these trials, we're all going through all these situations. Did you check on anybody? Are we visiting anybody? Are we calling? We have a phone. Just call them. But also what the Bible says, I was reading today, not only, it's in 1 John, not only loving them in speech or in talk, I think it was talking about, but in, let me get over there. It's in 1 John 3. I'll have to find it. But it's talking about how we're supposed to love that brother or that sister in Christ. Let's just read it. It says, for in 1 John 3:11, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren. So he's talking to saved folks here, and I believe I'm talking to mostly saved folks tonight. Marvel not, my brethren. If the world hate you, then don't worry about that. If the world hates you, that's not a problem. They're hating Christ, not you. Now, we know that we have passed from death unto life. That's salvation, all right? Because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Let me help you make that sense. Make sense of that, as I should say. If you hate somebody in this church, you check your salvation, because that's a salvation checklist right there. Number one, I understand we can get backslidden, we can dislike someone's personality, but there's a difference between disliking and hatred. Okay? One of the commandments we're going to go to and we're going to look at here in a minute is thou shalt not kill. We understand in the Bible, in this passage, that hatred is like murder. That's a commandment we're supposed to be following. If we love Jesus, we love our Savior, we will be keeping the commandments, we will be loving one another. There should be, the greatest unity is in a local church. The world should look at us and go, there's no schisms, there's no divisions, there's nothing in that church. Man, they're outstanding citizens of this. They never have a filthy word come out of their mouth towards another church member. I pray that's not the case. I hate when that happens, because we need to focus on the gospel. That's what our attention is. Now, we're proving to Jesus we love Him by keeping the commandments. So let's go look at a few more. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we see the Ten Commandments listed there, and it's listed in Exodus as well. But since I'm in Deuteronomy, no, I'm not Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Verse 13, I love my Bible. And I'm so glad once I got born again, God made it to where I could understand it as well. You know, He found me begging, but He didn't leave me hungry. And that's what I like about salvation is He feeds you daily out of His Word. And chapter number 5, verse 13. Let's just go up to number 12 to get the context here. Same thing. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. Your sin, your past, and before God saved you, and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Come to church on Sunday morning. Come to church on Sunday night. That's what, I mean, He died for the church. Why can't we come to church? Amen. Remember that miry filth, that pit of sin God brought you from. Love God to come to church enough to come to church on Sunday. I mean, that just ought to be easy enough if you're saved. Now, verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God give thee. Alright? But what if my mom and dad's lost? Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Well, what if my mom and dad's mean to me? They don't want to tell me that. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. Well, my dad doesn't. Honor thy father and thy mother. However it fits, honor thy father, honor thy mother. It's simple. That's a commandment out of the Lord, or out of the Bible. Thou shalt not kill. We already talked about that. I was going to go over there to 1 John, but we already did. Thou shalt not kill. We talked about hatred, murder. That's how our Savior sees it now. Neither shalt thou commit adultery, men, women as well. But we understand that our thoughts, we can commit adultery in our thoughts. We need to keep our thought life very pure. Verse 19, neither shalt thou steal. Verse 20, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. We're going to stop right there for a minute. Something happened to me this week about lying. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, I already asked my son's permission to tell this story, and it involves me and him. I'm not embarrassing him, and I would never do that. And I thank my son, because he prays for me. Since he found out I was preaching, he prayed for me every night when we went to bed. I just love it. So thank you, Jesse. And my wife as well. Alright. But hang on, a good drink. Now. Alright. What had happened was, I gave him a little pocket knife. And he was playing with it and everything was good. And I said he could take it to his room for that night. Told him not to touch it. And went back in there, and I'd asked him, I said, Jesse, did you touch it? And he wasn't honest when he said it. But I wasn't honest either, because when I asked him that, when I found out he wasn't being honest, I said, well, I have a camera. We have a baby monitor, but it's not a camera. I said, I have a camera right there. I can tell you if you're lying to me. And at first, when I said that, I was like, you know, I'm trying to get the truth out of him. Thought it was all right. And he fessed up, obviously. And then later, I took him out of the room because it was kind of late. And I grabbed my Bible, and I was just going to do a little lesson on lying. And then I was going to discipline him. But right before, the Lord said, you told a lie. Now, I understand that's small, and we kind of use stuff like that, but my Bible says, let me go back over there, in Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Trent, are you over there? Can you read it? I'm not over there. Where it talks about lying, bearing false witness. Right, so he's my neighbor. It didn't distinguish whether or not we're trying to discipline our kids or not, or whatever it is. It just says, neither shall thou bear false witness. And I had to be honest with him. I was like, Jesse, I told a lie as well. And it was kind of distraught towards him. We had to explain some things, but he understands now. But that, how honest are we being? You see what I'm saying? Because we were, even when we were in Thanksgiving, we were playing some games, and we would say things, and it's like, that was a lie. And, you know, before Monopoly Cheat, Taylor, man, she lies about everything. No, she, but, and I'm not even going to talk about Thanksgiving. We'll be here. We'll be in trouble. I took notes, but I threw them away. I was like, I can't preach none of that. Well, we'd be here all night. All right, but anyways, how are we looking right there? On honesty, I just take a test this week, because I've been doing it. And you say you're holier than thou, and you're sanctified, and you're all this. How many little lies have you been telling? I'm honestly, take a test, and think in your mind, was that even the truth? Was that even the truth? Like, honestly. Now, take your Bible, we'll go to 2 Peter chapter number 3. What time we get out? 7:30? 8? 9? Are y'all hungry? Man. All right. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 more pages. 2 Peter chapter 3. If you're in my Bible, it's on page 1975. Now, what this talks about is some things we need to be aware of as well. First one, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and the Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Now, we'll get to the point here in a minute. But we'll continue to read the chapter here in just a second. This tells us we ought to be aware of people who mock what we believe as Christians. There really is a bunch of those out there today, okay? They believe it always has been and always will be, and that what it's talking about here, what they're scoffing is the coming of our Lord. And, you know, and I get we can get complacent, and you grew up, especially the older folks, you know, you've been hearing about it for 50, 60, 70 years, the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. But these people were, I mean, scoffing, making fun of. Now, I don't know whether or not they were in the church per se, but I hope, I pray that there's not scoffers in this church about stuff like that. They believed that it always has been, always will be. Typically, this is usually people outside of church. But beware, because it could be in our church. It could be at some point, maybe. So always be listening. Beware of off-key, off-color stuff. Make sure you tell our pastor about it. We need to know those things. It says in verse number 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of it. They knew what they were ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. We're in verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now, and I think this might be talking about Moses. I'm not 100% sure. I didn't look on it. What it sounds like, it was the flood. Now, nobody believed Moses during this time as well. There was all scoffers. Everybody mocked Moses, okay? But it still happened. The flood still happened. In verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, which we're in today, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God's holding back. It can happen at any moment, the rapture. I believe the message on this morning was about heaven. And to get to heaven, you're either going to die or you're going to go out by rapture. Or a preacher says rupture, however it may be. In verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Boom! We're just going to keep going. Verse number 9, The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering that all should, or long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has a will, and got some counsel from a fella out in at Parkside, and about some salvation stuff that I was dealing with some folks, and he mentioned this verse, and I liked it because God has a will for everybody to be saved. Sometimes we like to force it. We like to, you know, it's got to be now. It's got to be today. But it might take 30 years. I don't know how long it's going to take for somebody to be saved, but God's not slack concerning His promise. Now, we have scoffers here in this chapter about the second coming of the Lord. Sometimes I get to where I'm ready to see Jesus. I'm ready to go to heaven. I hope you are as well. But at times I get, especially like some that, Cameron's going to get married. I know Trent, you know, when we all got married, like, I hope Jesus didn't come back before we get married or something like that. But now my thought is, well, I hope the Lord doesn't come back before some of my family or before some folks get saved. And but I still have, we have to hold on to that verse that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. God knows. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repent. Should. They should. Would they? That's their choice. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, the works that are therein, shall be burned up. I hope that doesn't scare you. If the rapture scares you, if any of this right here you're reading and the Holy Spirit's pricking your heart, you're just got that bump, bump, bump feeling that, man, I don't know if I want to be here during that. You need to talk to some guys. We need to talk about salvation. We need to make sure you shouldn't be fearful of these things. I used to be fearful. I sat in that second row right there for almost 3 months, scared out of my life over the rapture because I wasn't saved. Verse 11, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Holy conversation. Verse 12, looking for a hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, thank God for His promises, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, being diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace without spotless and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. I got this thought. God is long-suffering toward us because Christ is long-suffering for us, if that makes sense. God is long-suffering. The word long-suffering means bearing injuries, patient. He's patient for us. He wasn't easily provoked, and it took me 23 years to get saved. He was patient for me. But thank God for Christ's long-suffering on the cross for us, and thank God for His long-suffering toward us. And I'm glad that he suffered for us in salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. And that's when Brother Cunningham talks. Sometimes I say that verse in my head. I'm like, some things are hard to be understood, brother. Calm down. Where's he at? Back here. Yeah, you know that's your last verse. Now, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest as they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. Verse 17, and we're going to kind of pull over and we're not going to park. We still got 15 minutes. We're good. Now, verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. The word steadfastness there means fixed, unchanging, unmovable. Let's break this verse down. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, caution, hold up, lest ye also, being led away, remember the scoffers, we're talking about the scoffers in this context of the chapter, they're scoffing about the rapture, Peter's afraid that they're going to lead them away, lead them out of the church because they're saying, you know, the rapture's not going to happen, it's a bunch of hearsay, it's been going on for years. He says, beware, lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. It'll be your fault that you fall, or my fault that I fall, because we're steadfast, we're grounded. You might be fixed, you might be grounded today, but beware. Don't fall from that unchangeable position because it can change. Don't be swayed by what the scoffers are saying, like we saw in verse number 3. Here's the point. If you're saved in here, say amen. Amen. All right. Now I want you to get this from the little lambs to the old sheep, who I dearly love. Now that I've preached to you about not breaking those commandments and who to stay away from per se, how do we keep from doing these things? Who do we keep, or how do we keep from serving other gods and forgetting the Lord? How do we love our God with all our heart and soul and mind? How do we keep from hating our neighbor and gossiping and sowing discord among the brethren? How do we continue to just beware so we don't forget the Lord thy God like our text verse says? And I gave the warning straight from God's Word, but now please allow me to give us the answer out of God's Word. It's not my words, this is just what I found in the Bible. Now, in verse 18, this is simple. The way we beware is we grow in grace. Verse 18 it says, but growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, we grow by reading our Bible on our own every day. We grow in grace by showing up to Sunday school every Sunday faithfully. We grow in grace by being in church on Wednesday and Sunday morning and Sunday night and on testimony times. We grow in grace by being here on all and Saturdays. Let me add this. Soul winning is a vital part of the Christian life and will benefit your walk with God. If I remember right, over in Matthew 28, the command for soul winning that we get soul winning from was not left up to the local church. It was left up to the individual. Okay? We organize it as local church, but it is your job to carry the gospel out, not the church staff or the church in particular. Witnessing was not left up for the church. It's for the individual. It's for me. It's for you. It's for each one of us in here. And yes, our preacher and Brother Trent, they can organize some things together like our All on Saturdays and our youth outings we go to, but it's a clear command from God that we ought to be telling the folks about Jesus everywhere we go. We also grow in grace by being here for the revivals and the youth camp and trying to make it the best we can. We'll take our, you know, we're coming into a new year. You've heard preacher talk about a church calendar. Has it been on your mind to think I need to check that church calendar before I make that? You know, and I've already been thinking about it. I got a new planner and I'm like, I'm going to write these things down to figure out when I need to, what's going on. And, we found where I am. We also grow in grace by being here for the revivals, the youth camps. We grow in grace by developing a prayer life and a time of meditation with God daily. Don't be scared of that word meditation. It's in the Bible. There ought to be a time every single day that you sit down and you meditate on God's Word. You meditate on God. You shut your mouth long enough to go, what do you want from me, God? That time of quiet, whether it be when you're driving. My meditation time is when I'm driving. I have a 35 to 40 minute drive to work every day. Get up, read my Bible, and then I obviously can't read while I'm driving. I've tried that, it doesn't work. And so that's my time of meditation. And I'll give you all an illustration here in a minute about it. But we grow in grace by developing that. In order to grow in grace, we have to have the mind of Christ, though, it says in verse 18, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. In order for that to happen, we have to get in the book. Go to Psalm 119. We're gonna be there. Psalm 119. We're going to work backwards. I don't know why I did it backwards, but we're going to start in verse 173. It says, let thine hand help me. Help me, Lord. Let thine hand, Lord, help me. For I have chosen thy precepts. A precept, we'll go ahead and define it, is a commandment dealing with, I looked it up, the moral conduct or right or wrong actions. So, verse 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget the commandments. Let's go to verse 105 now. And we're going to, everybody knows this, and y'all can probably quote it. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Go to verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Revive me. Make new life. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. So, a commandment is a charge, an order given to God, or given from God, something we have to keep or to abstain from, maybe. Like, for example, we need to keep the Sabbath day. We need to abstain from murdering or hatred. Statutes, for example, is a limit or a boundary or maybe a requirement. That's why I don't write. I can't read my handwriting. Within each commandment, we find statutes to guide us and further instruct us to keep the commandments. That's kind of how, when I was looking up these words, it made a lot of sense when you see the word statute and you see, okay, it's a limit, a boundary, something to help me. This is placed in my life so I can follow this commandment. And, in verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness and strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. There it is again. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto my testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of the commandments, for then do I delight. I like that word, delight. We're going to look at it. Look at verse 47. Go ahead and skip down. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Look at verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. The word, I like that longed. It's just something you've desired. All right, go back to verse 47. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. That which gives great pleasure is the word delight. Satisfaction of mind or joy. But it's more than a permanent, or it's more than just a happiness. It's a permanent pleasure is what delight is. Something you want to do every day. It's a desire in you that you have to get up and you read your Bible. Think about Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. If we're going to be able to not forget the Lord, we have to get in the Bible. That's the first step. Let me encourage you. If you're not faithful to Sunday school was the biggest help for my life as a young babe in Christ at 20 years old, especially when I had 20 years of the world that I lived for, that I served. And I got in Sunday school and I learned every time I walked through those Sunday school doors, it was either preacher or Brother Greg that was teaching. And I kid you not, it would have been something I did that week or something I was going to do. And it was taught why it was wrong. And I was like, dude, do they have a camera? Like, give me a break, God. I mean, I would just sit in there and itch. I'm like, oh, get off me, man. And it was all the time. I remember when I had an NIV Bible. Man, I was sitting over there, I was wicked, man. And I'll tell you what, I didn't know. And I'll tell you what, though, I didn't understand my Bible until I got saved. And whether it be NIV or not, I didn't understand any of it. And I'd read it and be like, what is this thing saying? But when I got saved, boy, it was... The blinders came off, man. He fed me. Now, where was I going with that? I sat over there and I would begin to question. I'd hear King James Bible, man, what's up with them in the King James Bible thing? And a Wednesday night, he did a study. He's like, we're going to study on why the King James Bible is the only word of God for the English speaking people. And I was, yes, we are. And I'm about to take notes. But I went at it with a pure heart and an attitude of, I want to learn from you. I want to know why this is the truth. And it changed me. And I know she wouldn't mind sharing this, but I shared it with my mom months later. And I prayed for her. She now uses the King James Bible. And if you have a question on it, I'm not going to preach on it. I don't have the notes. I couldn't do it without my notes. But there's many men and women in this church that would love to teach on why we do the things we do. Just ask. A lot of the times, sometimes I would say, I just have to ask. And you have not because you ask not. You don't know these things because you don't ask. Now, oh, man. All right. So we have a longing. We have a desire. We have all these things in our hearts. Where am I at? With the Bible. All right. Now, go to Colossians. We're going to end in Colossians, I believe. Yeah, we're going to end over there. Go to Colossians. It's in page 1911. You have my Bible. I learned from Brother Trent. Don't you write page numbers? No? I don't write page numbers? Man. I can't write page numbers now, Brother Trent, don't. All right. I'm just kidding. I love Brother Trent, man. He's I love it. I look up to Brother Trent. Now, Colossians 2, chapter number 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ, I hope you've received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Remember we talked about that tree, we talked about growing in grace, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We just ended thanksgiving, that's kind of fitting. But this verse points back to 2 Peter 3:18 that we were talking about just a minute ago where it says, but we should grow in grace in the knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to share a little testimony real quick, and we'll be done in 10 minutes, all right? Are everybody good with that? 10 minutes? Maybe 15 if the invitation goes along. We'll see. Now, here we are a couple weeks ago, and I'm not going to go into detail just for the integrity, but it wouldn't harm nobody in here with this testimony but myself, number one. It was my past. But I'll be honest. Sometimes it's a struggle getting up in the mornings. I have to get up If I want to get up and read my Bible, and I don't mind sharing this because I think it ought to be a conversation where we talk with amongst each other. Hey, when do you read your Bible? When do you do these things? But at 4:45, I have to get up every morning. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I get up at 4:45. Thursday and Friday, I get to sleep in because I don't have to be at school with Tim. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, if I want to get up and read my Bible, which I do, I have to do it at 4:45. But here's what happened. I overslept. So that morning, I did not get to read my Bible before I left my house. I hate doing that. Because if I sit down to read the Word of God, to try to learn the commandments, to try to get with God, I'm too mixed up by the time the day's going on. I don't understand it. I've got too much going on in my head. I have to do it in the mornings. Everybody's different. I get it. Especially moms. Me and Allie's had many conversations. It's hard with moms, especially with two kids, 3, 5, 10. I know some of y'all have crazy numbers. I could imagine when y'all have to do it. I understand that you can't do it first thing in the morning. But here's what happens when we don't trust. Because even with our giving and our tithes, God requires the first fruits. Okay? And I kind of direct that towards Bible reading. We ought to give God not the leftovers. I've heard preachers say it a bunch too. The first fruits of our time, of our knowledge during the morning when we're, and maybe you're not a morning person, I don't know, but I don't have enough Bible for it, but I'll get it one day. Listen, but here we go. Here's what happened to me though. I hadn't read my Bible yet. I prayed on the way to work, but I didn't get the Word of God in me. That shield of faith, that power that we see in Ephesians chapter number 6. My feet weren't shod with the perspiration of the gospel of peace. And what had happened was that some things from my past crept up. And you know what that is? Fiery darts. All right? And here's what happened. I could have been better prepared, and it might not have been as bad. All right? You see what I'm saying? But what had happened was, is the devil knew he didn't read his Bible yet. I'm about to shoot him because he doesn't have his armor on. That'd be like a police officer, Brother Mark, going out without his bulletproof vest, man. That'd be terrible if he got shot without a bulletproof vest on or something like that. But the devil knew. He said, he ain't wearing his armor today. I'm about to have some fun. And guess what? The devil's, he knows his devices. He knows what we did. He doesn't know more. He's going to forget them. And he has forgotten them. But he knows where we've been. But he knows he can't win. All right? But here's where we are. He's looking at me. He's going, all right. He didn't say, hey, all right, he's not up yet. We're good. I can do it. He already had it in the toolbox. From years ago of my past, what had happened, he already had it in the toolbox. He knew what he was going to do. And then he picked the right day, the right time. So just beware when you do skip that time, whatever your time is, the devil's going to be there. Now, God made it pretty easy for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19 and 20, notice at the end it says, because ye, let's go over there real quick and we'll wrap it up. Deuteronomy 8, verse 19. It says, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye, would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, we talked about how we grow in grace as a Christian. The decision's yours, whether or not you're going to be a Christian growing in grace, or a Christian with a deficiency disorder that chooses not to take of this Bible daily, who chooses to be defective and won't grow. But lastly, as we finish up in this last 5 minutes, notice what our verse says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. It says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Let me ask you, is he your God? Because that's what he says right here. He says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. My God. Is he your God? Here's my question to you. Is he? Is he your Heavenly Father? Does he live in you as the Holy Spirit does? Beware now. Beware. Is he really your Savior? All right? I can go back to June 23rd. 2018, when God became my God, Jesus Christ, when He became real to me, I got baptized when I was 8, but that didn't make Him my God. He's so good, He answered my first prayer. Will you save me? John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. There has to be that Holy Spirit conviction. I remember sitting right there where Miss Taylor is. I sit right there, Allie sat right there, Taylor and Kate sat down from us. I sat right there. My heart, I could see it coming out of my chest. You know, I understand about feelings, and we Baptists, we can't get excited, we can't get feelings. But I'll promise you that day right there, I got under such Holy Ghost conviction, I'm afraid if I never would have gotten saved, I don't know if I would have gotten convicted ever again. I was in such realization of my sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the day He became my God. I was under such heavy conviction. He drew me. And it took a couple months that he began to draw, but He was long-suffering. He was patient. But there will come a time when that stops. Is He your God? Now, I finally gave up and asked Christ to forgive me and take me to heaven. The life of immorality, wickedness that filled my heart was hard to give up. But I got over my pride, humbled myself, and let Christ come in and do the work inside me that I couldn't do alone. It took Christ. I had strongholds, addictions in my life that men can't break, women can't break. But I promise you, when you get born again, you have the power of God Almighty. And I promise you, there's things that you wouldn't even think of that, man, He will help you instantly with. He will give you, but you gotta ask. You have to help. But first, you have to be saved. Is your God. Nothing or no one could help me but Christ. I had some of the biggest problems in my life, but God, He grew me. We grew in grace together as a pine tree. Think of a little pine tree. Boy, that thing's got to grow and mature. All right, I'm just a little suckling still, a little bitty. Now, I received Christ, have you? He saved me then, right there, at that altar. Brother Brent Orms met me there. I remember looking in his Bible, seeing Romans 10:13. He had highlighted, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."